Hello, everyone. Welcome to the second edition of the IBA's Customs Practitioner Speaks to Practitioners. I'm Yves Melin, a partner in the Brussels office of Reed Smith, specialized in customs and trade remedy law. And I have the pleasure today of interviewing Nico Ooyevaar, who is specialized customs lawyer in the Netherlands. So, Nico, beyond the few words I just said about you, would you mind briefly introducing yourself and explaining what are your specialties?
Yes. Well, the specialties are basically the same as yours, except probably with an even longer period of time, almost 40 years now, but focusing on customs issues, classification of goods, customs value, and the origin of goods. Also, that doesn't happen a lot. You don't see that a lot. Excise duties, and but also import and export regulation.
Indeed, 40 years is twice as much.
It's twice as much, yes. But I look at, you don't have gray hair, but I have, of course. So that's the downside of it.
So, not yet. Nico, you're proposed to discuss today the Vision Research case. What is that case and why is it important?
Well, it is important on several levels for people who deal with classification, tariff classification. Firstly, it's one of the few cases where a classification regulation of the European Commission is declared invalid by the Court of Justice. The Commission usually issues these regulations to end a discussion about the correct classification between the member states, and it is in the format of a law. But what is easily forgotten is that it only contains the opinion of the Commission and the committee of the member states that deals with this kind of classification issues. It's nothing more than that. Opinions can be wrong, and it's then up to the court to decide about the classification, and that's what happens in the courts in the member states. However, it's only the Court of Justice that can decide to invalidate a classification regulation of the Commission, and as I said, that doesn't happen very often. Other countries have similar situations where only the national highest court can actually decide on the government's opinion on classification. So never take those opinions for granted. It always pays off, I think, to take them to the test to see if they hold water when you bring them to the court. Secondly, this case is important because it demonstrates that it pays off to actually take the product in dispute, and in our case, this was a high-speed camera that makes photos at high speed. I mean, they range from thousands to almost several hundred thousand pictures per second. It is that's an enormous lot, and that's why these cameras are extremely expensive, and at that time attracted a high duty rate, at least according to the Commission. But we'll come to that later. Now, normally, procedures before the Court of Justice, and by the way, by the national courts, do not involve actual viewing of the product or even demonstrating the product in court, at least not in my experience. We do that more often. Sorry, why? Well, first of all, the procedures in the Netherlands, and I don't know how that is in Belgium, but the procedure, it's a written procedure. You put everything, every argument you have on paper, you file it to the court. And then basically what the court does is hold a hearing session where they have the capability to ask questions to the parties. It doesn't last very long. It's quite contrary to the Anglo-Saxon system where these kind of court cases can take far longer because you have the ability to hear witnesses, experts, and sometimes even demonstrations in the court. It's far more focused on establishing the facts during the court session, as it were, while we do it more on paper. But that doesn't work very good if you're dealing with devices like this one, a high-speed camera, because you can say, well, it takes 1,000 or 10,000 photographs per second, but you have no idea what it actually means, how that works. And this happened with the Commission. I think the Commission was led astray by a complaint from one of the competitors of, in this case, Vision Research, arguing that the cameras were imported as digital photo cameras, which at that time had 0% duty. while video cameras had a duty percentage of, what was it, 4.5%. But we're talking about cameras that attract easily 50 to 100,000 euros in purchase price. So the amount of duty per camera is quite high. So one of the first things the Commission did, and I'm talking about 2007, was in a published note, an opinion, how you should divide cameras, video cameras and digital cameras. I think at that time they said, well, if you record so much time or you can record so much time with the camera, then actually it's a video camera. And if it isn't, if you can't do that, then it's a photo camera. I have to say that for a lawyer, it's quite interesting to find out that the technology behind these cameras is based on the same thing. It's digital chips, as it were, semiconductors that attract light. And with light, you can do anything, at least digitally. But what I didn't know was that there is you can still make a distinction between making photos with a digital camera and video. And that was the key of this case with the Commission. So we had the opinion of the Commission in 2007. This is a photo, video camera, so you have to pay duty. A BTI, a binding tariff information, which we requested for a photo camera, was denied. And we started a court case that went to two instances in the Netherlands. And in both cases, the court agreed with us and with the fact that we were talking about a device that actually make photos, lots of them, in a very short period of time. Then the Commission came back and said, well, we're still convinced it's a video camera, but not because it's the amount of time you take to in order to make a video. They said, these devices are actually video cameras because when you watch the photos in a sequence, it's actually a video, which is slightly different. But it shows that they didn't want to give up in this particular case, even after two court cases, even if they were local court cases. So then the argument was, well, that this is impossible because you may have thousands of photos, and if you watch them in let's say normal time, you indeed may have a sequence that looks like a video. But video is completely different than photos. Videos, at least digital video, they have to meet certain standards which are internationally agreed. Because if you don't do that, then nobody can watch somebody else's video. So to give you an idea, the American standard for television is so many pictures per second. The European version, the PAL version, for people who still know what that is, was a different format. And the television and the recorders had to be using the same format because otherwise you couldn't watch what was happening. Nowadays, that has all changed into HD and even further up. But those are all standards which were agreed. Now, these particular cameras, the high-speed cameras, could take pictures on a lower speed or a higher speed, on any kind of speed, but and in between somewhere that speed would meet the conditions of video. But because of this huge variance in taking photos, they could never be considered really a video camera. So when that was done, the Commission came back with the last option, which was the classification regulation. And in that regulation, they went a completely different way. They said that because this particular type of camera could actually record only photos in its memory, volatile memory, in its built-in memory, and not recorded to, let's say, another medium like a hard disk or a video card or a compact card. There are various different types for those kind of things. Because it could only record into volatile memory which empties as soon as you switch the camera off or record something new. These kind of cameras, the Commission said, have to be considered a television camera, which happen to have the same duty rate as video cameras. So when that happened, we had to go back to court again and argue that the Commission was completely wrong. And not only the Commission was wrong, but the regulation on which they based their arguments was wrong as well, because if you look at the explanatory notes for these particular kind of digital cameras, you will find that they all agree, all these notes agree that photo cameras take pictures, video cameras take video, but there is no particular description how this recording of video or photos is done, as long as you record. That was undisputable. Everybody agreed, you make pictures here. We even had photos with us in the court. We had the camera in the court. We demonstrated that you can actually make one photo with a camera. And all these things helped to convince at least the Netherlands court that these were still photo cameras. Unfortunately, we have the regulation. The regulation now says these kind of cameras that are similar to the one we had should be considered to be a TV camera. And for that, we had to, the court referred us to the Court of Justice with that question. How do you classify these cameras, which are based on their objective characteristics and properties as photo cameras? How do you classify them as TV cameras? And what we did with the court was, with the Court of Justice was, well, we thought, well, let's have a demonstration there as well, because that worked very well in the national courts. Unfortunately, the court told us before the session started, well, we don't deal with facts in the court room. We only deal with what you tell us and what was presented to us in the written documentation. So we couldn't hold the demonstration. What we did was we took the camera and placed it in front of us, and we had lots of photos and everything installed in front of us. And although the court said that they would not deal with facts, the only thing what we did the next 2 hours was deal with the facts, because they were very interested in how the camera worked, that you can really indeed make photos. And in the end, that I think helped clinch the decision that at least we were right in our conclusion that this is a photo camera. But that left then the question of the regulation open for the court to decide. What do we do with that? Well, it's the court said, well, you can't, I mean, if it's very clear that this is a photo camera, then you cannot, that makes photos. And there isn't any description whatsoever that limits the recording of photos in the camera, or even the way it does that. Then clearly the regulation must be wrong, because it classifies those kind of cameras as TV camera. And with that, the commission had extended its authority and limited the working of the tariff heading about digital photo cameras. So it pays off. It pays off to take the products with you and put them even in front of you, because without any doubt, there will be questions about the product itself. And that helps, because when you deal with classification, the first question always is, particularly in new products or products that have been further developed, first question is always, what is it? And if nobody knows the answer, then well, it's for the customs lawyers to come up with the right answer.
What you describe is very factual, and
it is
interesting. These cases, classification cases, how often do they end up before the Court of Justice? What you did, is it standard practice or is it unusual?
Well, it doesn't happen very often, but that's because it's up to the national courts to refer a case to the Court of Justice, and they would only do that traditionally if there is indeed a question of a regulation that is valid or not valid, or when they think, well, this is not something where we can quite easily come up with an answer ourselves. It is, of course, the Court of Justice that deals ultimately with questions of customs law, including tariff classification. I think personally that it should happen more. I think that there are too many instances, and I'm even talking about my own country, where the judgments go too far in the sense that they don't, that in those kind of cases, they really should refer a case to the Court of Justice, because there could still be divergence between the member states in these kind of cases. In fact, I'm dealing now with a case that started in 1993 and has now recently been revived after a long suspension. And we're going back, most likely, back to the Court of Justice. So if I if I manage not to die in the process, as it were.
Because 20 years is a long time, yes.
It is.
Yeah. Any measurement. Yeah. Thank you very much, yeah. Nico. It was most informative. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to us.